it's Flo, and this is my impression of a geographically challenged rock band delivering a commencement speech. Hello, graduates! Here's a song called Adulthood is Scary, but Progressive is Snapshot. Plug it in and save money for being a safe driver. Let me hear you, Cleveland! I mean, Kansas City! New York?
Safe driver save with Snapshot from Progressive.
Now you're wearing a stupid hat. Congrats! No, but really, where are we?
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Snapshot not available in all states.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to another Saturday with me. Welcome to a beautiful, sunny, breezy Saturday morning here in Philadelphia, home of brotherly affection and sisterly love. I know it's supposed to be the other way around, but right now it's all about the sisters. So welcome to Hand and Footprints. I am your host, Miss Ricky R. Jones. And those of you who have been on this ride with me and listening to Hand and Footprints and listening to a 15-minute conundrum on Wednesday nights, thank you so much. I could not do this if it wasn't for you guys. So thank you for being with me. I appreciate it. Thank you to those of you. This is your first time tuning in to Hand and Footprints. I totally appreciate you rocking out with me this morning. You could have been anywhere this morning, but you decided to be with me, and I really do appreciate that. The call-in number this morning is 347-826-9723, 347-826-9723. You can also send me your questions for our guests. And you can do that on the Facebook page, which is Hand and Footprints. What is your legacy? You can shoot me an instant message that way. You can also find me on Facebook at Ricky Jones. And you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter and Google Plus. So if you want to shout out some questions to our guests, please, by all means, you know, do that, and we'll get your question right on. If you're calling in online and you want to have the message, you know, brought in, you actually want to have a conversation, by all means, 347-826-9723, press the number 1, and I'll get you into the queue. What I'll end up doing is just saying the first few numbers of your number. I won't do the whole number. I won't put you out there like that, but I'll definitely put you guys out there so that you can, you know, put your questions in. So this month, last month, for those of you who were with us, we celebrated the entire month of March talking to the women, and what phenomenal shows did we have last week and last month. If you missed them, the shows are always archived, always archived, and you can check those archives out anytime, 24/7, right here on blogtalkradio.com/Ricky Jones. And you can always go onto my Facebook page or any one of my social medias and find the links. So you can definitely check those out. So this month, I'm dedicating all to the writers. I'm dedicating all to the writers. You know, those of you who are thinking about writing, those of you who are just now publishing, it's all about the writers. So every Saturday this month, you know, we're going to, you know, highlight an author with a book or, you know, with whatever they have coming out. So I'm looking forward to that. Got some really, really good, have some really, really good guests coming on. And I can't wait for you guys to get on. Oh, boy, the questions are popping already. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. Well, while we're waiting, to get started, like I said before, the phone number is 347-826-9723, 347-826-9723. And let me tell you about this super awesome, because I love every guest that comes on. Anyone who has ever been a guest and anyone who's ever listened to any of the shows, you know, I love my guests to come on because I'm appreciative. They could have gone anywhere, but they chose to be with little old me, and I really do appreciate it. But the guest we have coming on is one half of this particular novel that I just finished like 4 o'clock this morning. I'm telling you, when you guys, if you haven't read this novel yet, please do yourself a favor. It's a beautiful day. I mean, the weather is nice. You can get out, and this is a good day to sit out and read. Oh, my goodness. But let me tell you about Karen Kunis Miller. Oh, my goodness. I'll tell you the professional stuff about her. And then when I bring her on, she can tell you the rest. But she is a native of Harlem, USA. Yay, Harlem. But Philly claims her as her own. We appreciate her being here in Philadelphia. And this lady, I tell you, wrote her first novel in 1999, and it was called Satin Doll. And that's kind of where I didn't catch it in 99, but I caught it a little bit later on, and that's how I kind of got hooked on her writing. Absolutely fabulous. And she received, after receiving a whole bunch of rejection letters from agents and publishers, she decided to self-publish her novel, and she sold 3,000 copies in 6 weeks. And if you get an opportunity, make sure that you pick it up. Published 8 books since then, and she is a literary agent. She's a literary phenomenon. She has been hailed as an absolute phenom in this world of literature. So like I said, I'm not going to tell the whole story. I'm just going to bring it on. Good morning, Karen. How are you? And welcome.
Oh, thank you, Ricky. I'm fine. How you doing, girl?
Listen, you heard what I said. 4 o'clock, I finished this morning. So, and when we spoke the other day, I told you that you and your other half to this book put your foot in it. You and Allison put your foot in it. But, oh, my goodness, hitting it out the park is above and beyond what you all should have called
well,
this.
Thank
you should have called this slap me in the mouth and throw me on the floor because this
oh
is
God.
Too much.
Yeah, it really does sound like you enjoyed it, and I'm so glad. It has become one of my favorite books, actually. So
really?
The reviews coming in have been, you know, off the hook. So I guess we really did hit it out the park.
Yes, you did. All right, so I gave a little bit. I was going to go read the whole bio of yours, but you know what? People can go to your website after they, you know, after they get off with us. They can go to your website and read. First of all, they'll read the book, and then they'll read your bio and everything else. But I wanted you to tell people, who is Karen Miller?
Karen E. Quinones Miller. I was born in Harlem, like you said, and I moved to Philadelphia when I about 28 years ago. I dropped out of school in the eighth grade and actually started college I think I was 32 years old. And the only reason why I went to college was because I wanted to become a newspaper reporter, and it required a college degree. Because I really, like, for instance, when I graduated from college, I graduated magna cum laude, which proved to me that the only thing I missed by not going to high school was, you know, the prom. But I felt like college, formal education, the only thing, you know, the only thing they did was make me pay to validate my own intelligence. It was a waste of time. But, you know, you do what you got to do. You know, that's why it's so important not to judge people by their quote-unquote education level. Anyway, I became a reporter at the Philadelphia Inquirer. After 7 years, I decided to write a novel, or my daughter decided I should write a novel, and it was Satin Doll. I sent it to publishers. I sent out 35 query letters, and I got 50 rejections, and then I decided to self-publish it. Like you said, I sold 3,000 copies in 6 weeks, which is phenomenal. And ultimately, I sold 28,000 copies in a little over 7 months. And then all of the publishers who didn't want anything to do with me came banging on my door trying to buy the rights. And, you know, that was in 99 to 2000. Since then, I've written 8 books. I've also had brain surgery because of a brain tumor. Yeah, which kind of slowed me down. And now I have multiple sclerosis, which has also slowed me down. But notice I'm saying slowed me down. Didn't stop me.
Right.
And as you can see, I'm still writing and still enjoying life and still enjoying talking to my readers. So thank you again for having me on. I love the connection.
Oh, thank you. Now, did you always know that you were a writer? You know how some people, you know, like I always use me for an example. People have told me I have a nice voice, but, you know, I hear myself every day. So I don't necessarily, well, now I do, though. I'm not going to say it now. Yes, I have a nice, I always thought my voice was sexy. I still think my voice is sexy.
Your voice is sexy.
But I never thought it was a voice. Maybe, listen, maybe when you do the audio, when you guys decide to do the audio of this book, maybe I could be either Cheryl or sexy.
Okay, that sounds good. I think you'd be sexy Sanchez, but okay.
Hello. I have a mind. Listen, I might not have the body of a young girl, but I sure enough have a mind one. Hello.
Okay.
But how did you know that you were a writer? Did you always know that you were a writer?
No. And that's funny. Because even when I was young, I used to write letters for people or, you know, help the older people. You know, like I said, I grew up in Harlem, and there was a lot of older people who didn't know how to write, you know, wanted to write letters, you know, to their family back in the South. And I used to do it, you know, for them all the time. But I never considered myself a writer. I was working as a secretary, Philadelphia Daily News, and I used to write letters to the editor all the time complaining about racism in the paper, you know. And, you know,
right.
Since I worked there, I didn't have to put a stamp on the letters, you know. So sometimes I'd send up 2 or 3 letters a day if I got really pissed. And he called me into his office one day to talk about the letters. And basically, at the end, you know, he said, well, it's really easy for someone to criticize when they're not capable of doing anything themselves. And I was like,
right.
Oh, shoot. You know, and I went downstairs and gave my 2 weeks' notice. And that's when I went back to school when I was 32 at Temple University. I had no idea, Ricky, I swear, I had no idea how hard it is to get a job as a journalist or as a writer. And you know, sometimes ignorance is truly bliss, because perhaps if I had, I wouldn't have tried it. But, you know, like I said, I graduated 4 years later with magna cum laude, a GPA of 3.88, immediately started working at the Philadelphia Inquirer, and that's when I realized, yeah, I'm a writer, you know, and that's how it happened. You know, I would never have written a novel except my daughter was bugging me because she was a Jada Pinkett fan, and she wanted a book that Jada Pinkett could turn into a movie. And that's how Satin Dog came about. But I never realized I was a writer. You know, God has a funny way of nudging you into something when you don't realize it. So I tell people all the time, I was just going through life, and I tripped over a piece of writing and fell into it.
I know that's,
you know,
right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad you tripped. and fell all into it. We truly appreciate that. And for those of you who are just tuning in, welcome to Hannah Footprints. I'm your host, Ricky Jones. The number to call in is 347-826-9723, and you're going to want to press the number 1. We are on with Karen Kionis Miller, author of Hitting It Out the Park, well, part author, and also author of Satin Dolls, and many other books. So if you have a question for this wonderful creative talent, please press the number 1, and we'll get you right on in. And we thank you for being on with us. So, you started writing, and folks are telling you, no, we don't want this. We don't want this. What made you, after the first couple of times, you know, to decide that I'm going to self-publish, and how did you get into that? How did that happen?
Well, I have a saying, you know, if someone tells me no, it doesn't mean I can't do it. It simply means I can't do it with them. I don't even get mad at the no's, because people, that's their prerogative. I can't make someone want to work with me, and I don't want to work with someone who doesn't really want to work with me. You know, I'm one of those people, you know, I practice Kwanzaa. I celebrate Kwanzaa, you know, and I celebrate Kwanzaa 365 days a year. Okay.
Okay,
and the second principle of Kwanzaa is Kuchichakalia, which is self-determination. I decided I was not going to let someone else determine whether or not I was going to be a published author. I would determine that myself. And so I had already written the manuscript. I sent out 35 query letters, you know, and I got 50 rejections. Some people rejected me twice. And I said, well, you know what? I think it's good. I think it's worth publishing. And so, and now this is back in 99, Ricky, as you know. There weren't a lot of people self-publishing at that time.
Right.
I borrowed money from my brother. I wiped out Camille's college tuition account. <You know? laughs> I mean, I really went out on a leap of faith. But you know what? If you don't have faith in yourself, then you don't understand what faith is really about, you know.
Right.
And so, you know, I took a leap of faith and, you know, invested all of the money into getting the book edited and printed. And listen, I'm telling you, I mean, and it was a scary process. I mean, like, I knew nothing about self-publishing. So when the printer sent the books out, the truck came to my house. I had no place to put 3,000 books. I was living in a one-story, a one-bedroom walk-up in West Philadelphia. 83 boxes of books the man left on the sidewalk. My neighbors had to help me carry the books upstairs. We had so many books, we had to take my couch and put it out on the porch. That night, someone
wow.
stole my couch, okay? And, you know, my thing was I felt that I had to sell these 3,000 books in 6 months, or actually in 3 months, because otherwise I wouldn't have enough money, because I took an unpaid leave of absence from the Inquirer to do this, and I wouldn't have been able to pay the rent. Since I knew nothing about selling or marketing, I didn't know how much work I needed to put in to sell 3,000 books in 3 months. And that was a blessing, because since I didn't know how much I had to do, I just did everything I could think of. And I sold those 3,000 books in 6 weeks.
So now, were you one of those ladies, hey, I got a book for you, buy it here, you buy it, and you got it, had it in a bag, had it in your arm, had it in your hand, everywhere you could hold a book, that's how you were doing, huh?
Well, I had all of the books. I kept 500 books in my trunk.
Wow.
The trunk of the car. But, okay, I'm going to give your listeners some tips on marketing, on guerrilla marketing, okay, because I'm still considered the queen of guerrilla marketing. So listen, I'm going to tell you guys what you can't tell anybody else, okay? But I had this little big printer. You know, one of those printers is like for little girls who want to, you know, print out the little dresses for their Barbie dolls or their Imani dolls or whatever. Little bitty printer. And what I would do is at Camille's bedtime was 9 o'clock. So I put her to bed. At 9 o'clock, I put in 200 pieces of paper to print out flyers for a satin doll. And then I would go to bed. Camille's clock was set for 11 o'clock. She would get up at 11, take my 200 flyers out, put 200 more in, and then go to bed. My clock was set for 1 o'clock. So I'd get up at 1 o'clock, take her 200 out, and put 200 more in. Her clock was set for 3. She'd get up at 3 o'clock, take her flyers, take my flyers out, wake me up, and we'd go out at 3 o'clock in the morning. And we would post flyers all over Philadelphia. There were so many flyers that we posted that there was a commercial that was filmed at Philadelphia, and in the background you saw a flyer for Satin Doll. Okay? I mean, I am so serious. Then we would go into bookstores, right, the Barnes & Nobles and Borders and all of those, and Camille would be the lookout for the higher shelves, and I would be the lookout for the lower shelves. But what we would do is we made postcards on that same little printer, because, I mean, we were broke. Believe me, we were broke. We were doing everything on our own. This is true guerrilla marketing, by the way. So she would be the lookout, and I would take all of the Eric Jerome Dickey books, the Omar Tareed books, the Terry McMillan books, every black book. I would open the book and put a postcard for Satin Doll inside the middle, not in the front, but in the middle, so that way when someone bought those books, when they got to the middle, they would see a postcard for a satin doll, which would say what satin doll was about, okay? And then I put the book back on the shelf, okay? So every black book that you bought, when you took it home, you saw a postcard about satin doll, okay? We would go, do you know what an R box is?
I do, but please tell our listeners.
Okay, an auto box, when you go, when you buy a newspaper from a machine, a vending machine, that's actually called an auto box. So I would put my 50 cents in the auto box, take out all of the newspapers, put a flyer of Satin Doll in the middle of them, and put them back in the box. So whenever you bought a copy of the Daily News or the Philadelphia Inquirer or the Philadelphia Weekly or the City Paper, you got a flyer about Satin Doll. I mean, we did, oh, and this is another thing. I would, even though I had a car, I would take the bus during the Christmas or Kwanzaa, shopping, time. And as I'm getting on the bus and as I'm getting off the bus, I was slipping postcards of Satin Doll in everybody's bags. Instead of pickpocketing and taking stuff, I was pickpocketing and putting stuff in. And that's how, but listen, it works, okay? Satin Doll becomes
clearly
a bestseller. And for this book that nobody wanted back in June when I was trying to market it, nobody wanted it. By January, and I'm talking about the publishers, by January, by February, they were beating down my doors trying to buy the rights. There were so many publishers trying to buy the rights. I had to get an agent who set up an auction. And the very first bid came in at $100,000. Now, this was a book that no publisher wanted 6 months before. And it finally went for $165,000. So this book that no publisher wanted. So, yeah, all of those marketing things, they work. I'm raving about the book. And, that's how it happens.
That guerrilla marketing.
That is guerrilla marketing. I even, I do workshops now on writing and also on publishing, self-publishing, where I go into, all the things that you need to do to publish your book, to get your book published or to publish it yourself, but also how to sell it, how to market it. The thing is I couldn't afford a publicist. I couldn't afford advertising. So necessity is the mother of invention.
Policy, it sure is.
The invention of creativity.
And I'm telling you, Facebook is lighting up because I have a couple of folks who are saying, I am taking notes. Thank you so very much. Don't forget, guys, now listen, she's giving out some good tips here, and you have questions, by all means, you can either Facebook me or you can press the number 1 right here so we can get we can keep the conversation going. But now one of the questions I just got, Jaren, was with all of this, and now that you've written your books and everything else, what would you consider, because in a few minutes we're going to get into this juicy book, but what would you consider your greatest achievement thus far?
Being a role model for my daughter, teaching her that there's nothing that she can't do and that it's okay to have faith in yourself even when other people are naysayers. I think that's my greatest achievement. Camille now lives in Los Angeles, and she is chasing a career as a film producer, which is the same thing as chasing, a career as a writer. You have to have faith. And, she's faced a lot of rejections and whatnot. And she just called me and says, Mom, guess what? Another rejection. And I was like, okay, sweetie, what you having for dinner? she realizes, she doesn't get down on herself. She knows that Mom got her back 100% because she was with me on my journey.
Right.
And she knows that you can do it as long as you have faith. If you think your stuff is good, then go for it. And that's, I know that's probably not the answer that your listeners were expecting, but I feel like that's my greatest achievement. You know, and I know that, you know, my story serves as an inspiration for others. And I'm really glad about that. I really am. And I think it's important that I kind of help as many people as I can. I want to treat people the way which I had been treated, you know, when
right.
I was looking for advice. And, you know, I don't understand why people, you know, are so afraid to give advice. It's like, if I help you publish your book, somehow that's going to unpublish mine? I don't know. You know, it's further with cooperation than we do with competition.
And that's true, because a lot of times we forget, I think a lot of things, sometimes we forget from whence we came, and then when we
mm-hmm.
so-called arrive, you know, we don't want anybody to be where we arrive. But like you said, all of us take our journeys a different way to arrive at the destination that we're supposed to be on. That's our destination, period. Nobody took your journey with you. Nobody walked with you as far as, you know, this was your particular journey. And once you get there, why not share the wealth? Because people got to get to their destinations too.
Exactly, exactly.
Now, another question. Oh, they are popping, girl. They are popping. The questions are popping,
good.
popping. And you got a lot. I'm getting a lot of your fans in on Facebook, too, asking questions.
Okay.
But one of the questions that you have is, do you have any workshops coming up soon, particularly in the Philadelphia, New Jersey, and New York area?
Well, what is this? This is April. I may do one in June. I haven't done a workshop in over a year. And I don't know if it'll be a writing workshop or a publishing / self-publishing workshop. Probably. Well, you know what? Let your listeners know to, you know, ask them would they prefer a writing workshop or a publishing / self-publishing workshop. And maybe after this this interview, we can tally them up and see which, you know, is the most needed. How's that? Is that okay?
All right, you all heard that. Yep, you all heard that. Now, she said, now this is what you do. While we're on air, you guys can send me messages and we can tally up how many want to do the type of workshop that she's offering. Make sure that you either hit me up on Facebook, well, preferably Facebook, because that's what I have open right now. So you guys, so far, oh, we got one vote for self-publishing. Oh, two votes for self-publishing. I think that might be where it's leaning towards. But make sure you
okay.
guys hit me on Facebook. Go to Ricky Jones. So you can go to Hannah Footprints page. I'm right there, and you can kind of let me know where you want to go. Now, another question is, do you think about taking the novels to a movie? For example, we have one of your fans who has read Passing, Ida B., Satin Doll. And I mean, she is going down the list. I think she might be one of your biggest fans. And she's asking, you know, have you ever thought about taking these novels to a movie? She said, because there's such compelling stories about identity in the community, and people really need to see this.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, reader. Yeah, I think every writer would love to have their books turned into movies. But it's not that simple. You know, if there's a film producer, you know, that wants to do it, you know, a studio that would like to do it, then, yeah, I would love to. With the exception of Satin Doll, I promised Camille that I would not give Satin Doll to anyone but, you know, but her, you know. Since,
exactly,
you know,
right.
She was inspiration for that book. But, yeah, it's not like a writer can decide, okay, now I'm going to make this movie. You know, you have to have a studio and, you know, to pay the actors and, you know, so, yeah. So if there's any film producers out there with the financial backing, yeah, we could go ahead and make a movie.
All right, you all heard that. Folks who know folks who know folks who know folks.
Who know folks.
Who know folks. That's right. My son said who know folks.
if you want to
get on this, you want to get on Karen Kionis Miller and her doing her books, get on it. I'm telling you, they should be. So now let's get into the book, Karen. Let me remind people, 347-826-9723, press the number 1. Hit me up on Facebook. Facebook is popping today, Karen. Thank you so much. It is popping. Folks are on and they're asking questions.
Great.
Oh, and I just got someone say they would love to bring a couple of girlfriends that write. Oh, shucks. All right, well, we got something popping. But let's talk about this book, Hitting It Out the Park. First of all, shout out to your partner in crime, Allison Hobbs. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
And we talked yesterday. She's coming on in May, so I can't wait. This is the other half of the dynamic duo, so I can't wait. But how did the two of you hook up and come up with such work that you guys put there?
Well, Allison and I met back in 2000. Sight and Doll had already come out. It hadn't been picked up by Simon & Schuster yet. And she was shopping around her novel, her first novel, Pandora's Box. And we became, you know, friends, you know, from the beginning, but not friends who, you know, talk every day, every week, or every month, you know. We'd run into each other, and we were always friendly. About 5 years ago, another literary consultant and I was talking, and she said that another author was looking for short stories with a sports theme for an anthology that she wanted to do. So I was like, oh, okay. And, you know, I quickly just outlined that. It took me probably about an hour, you know, to just give a short, you know, 3 or 4 paragraph synopsis. But that project never, you know, went anywhere. So, you know, like I said, it was only 3 paragraphs written about what the book would be about. And
right.
I kept it because I really, really liked the idea, but I just sat on it because I was like, well, you know, I'll eventually get around to it. And then Allison and I were talking last year, and I brought this story idea up, and she was like, well, why haven't you done this? And I was like, you know, because I really want it from 2 different points of view. And I want the points of view to be very individual. And, you know, I've never really done anything quite like that. I think it needs 2 authors. She says, you know what? It certainly does. I volunteer. And we did it. You know, we decided to shop it around, and we got my agent to agent the book. And the first, you know, person she sent it to immediately grabbed it. It was like, okay, let's do this. So, here came Hitting It Out the Park. I've always been a big baseball fan. You know, I mean, from way back in the day. I mean, to this day, I can still, you know, tell you the starting lineup of the Yankees 76 and 77 season. You know, I love baseball. And, you know, they had, you know, the basketball wives and the this wives and the that wives. And they had the baseball wives. It lasted, like, I think, 3 episodes because it was so boring. And I was like, I can write it so that it's exciting.
Who would ever think? I mean, because you're right. You hear in a lot of books are based on, in a lot of the shows, you have the basketball, you have football. But nobody ever thinks that, you know, baseball would ever be. Yeah, they go through the same kind of issues and the same thing. And
girl,
the way
this
book is written,
based.
Like you said, you made it sexy.
Mm-hmm. But see, here's the thing. It's actually based on a true story. I'm not going to mention the sports figure's name because he's still alive. But he came from Alabama. He came from Alabama to New York. He met a woman who was 10 years older than him, and he didn't know it. And she, let's just say, I ain't going to say she's a gold digger, but she dug into him, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of the elements were based, and what she used to say, well, anytime he even suspected my real age, I'd get on my knees in front of him, and by the time I was finished, he wasn't thinking about age, he wasn't thinking about food, he was just thinking about, oh, I'm in heaven, you know? And I mean, it's really based. So, and her daughter became involved. You know, so that's, you know, I won't say anymore because I don't want to give the plot of the, you know, too many of the secrets away. But so it's really kind of based on the true story. And I knew the story, you know, because I'm from Harlem and, you know, we keep our stories kind of within ourselves. But
right. And listen, those of you who have it, because we're not going to tell too much, but we are going to tell you, if you like How do I want to put it? Because I put it, I made this show PG-13. I made it nice enough.
Okay.
I made it nice enough. But those of you, that's right, close the baby's ears. But no, I made it PG-13 because those of you who like stimulation, I'm going to say that. You like that, Karen, stimulation. Those of you who like to be stimulated mentally as far as, you know, relationships between people and the dynamics, this is definitely the book to it because it's not just about the sex. And, boy, is it a lot of it. OMG. Oh, my goodness. I can hear it. I can see it. I can smell it when you, as you guys are describing it. But it also is about the secrets that we keep, the appearances
right.
that we try to put up, and how those secrets and those appearances, at some point in time, putting on those fake faces and everything else, it wears on the body, it wears on the mind, it wears on the spirit. It also kind of speaks to the fact that sometimes we do forget, and it's not, it doesn't even have to be a whole heck of a lot of money, but sometimes we do forget where we come from and when we get there, how we got there, and everything else takes control. You know, we kind of lose ourselves within ourselves and what we think that we are and what we're trying to be. And it's crazy because it's so true. People are living everyday lives. They may not be living the lives of, you know, the wealth that you're talking about in the book, but people are living these everyday lives with these masks and these things that they put up, and they just go through the motions of trying to figure out who the heck they are.
And let me give a shout out to Allison. She did the sex scenes in the book. Okay. She didn't just do Sexy Sanchez's sex scenes. She also did Cheryl's sex scenes. Because once I saw her sex scene, I was like, look, just go ahead and do one for Cheryl too. You know? So I mean,
listen,
Allison can write a sex scene. Okay. She can write.
Listen,
a sex
read.
Scene.
And that's what makes it great with the two of you all in this book, because one has the part that you can see and smell and kind of taste, touch it, and the other one gets you to, the other part of it is get you to thinking about, wow, that is really deep. Because even though these are air hashtag quote unquote fictitious characters, by the same token, we know people who are like
right.
Sexy. We know people who are like Cheryl. And shucks, some
exactly.
of us are a mixture of Cheryl and Sexy, depending on the situation
exactly.
that we find ourselves in.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Did I mention to you all that the book is called Hitting It Out the Park? Did I mention that this book, I just finished it. Listen, it came out on the 31st, correct?
Correct. Tuesday.
Okay, so it came out Tuesday. And if you really, really have time, you can knock it out in one day. You really can, because I'm telling you, I was on the bus. I got it. I downloaded it for my Kindle on my phone, and I'm on the bus in the morning going into work. And a couple of days this week, I almost missed my stop because you know, I was so engrossing. And that, to me, for me, what I love about a novel, you know, get me in it and keep me in it. And I love the visualization that you guys put into it. But I really love the backstories, you know, the keeping up and trying to remember. Because like you said, everyone has a past and everyone
right.
has to deal with it at some point in time. And Cheryl finds herself. Yep,
okay.
What goes on. Like Mommy used to say, the dirty water washes out eventually in the wash. It really does. But this is what listen, and you didn't have to end the book the way you ended the book, and that's all I'm going to say because I'm not going to give too much about that. But when you lucky, I didn't text you this morning at 4 o'clock because I was going to say you had no business ending it like that, for real, because that's what I'm saying, for real, I'm talking to the, for real, really? But it is amazing. So when you're writing these characters, Karen, what do you want readers to get from your characters?
Well, like you said, I think that most women and men too, you know, as they're reading the characters, they will be agreeing or disagreeing with what they're doing, but they'll understand why they've done it because they know that in a similar situation, whether they would admit it or not, they may do the same thing. And so they could learn, I mean, this may sound really hokey, but they may be able to learn, you know, something about themselves as they read the characters. Like, for instance, you know, Cheryl, one of the things Cheryl learned, you know, what goes on in the dark shall soon come to the light, you know. And, you know, Allison will tell you the same thing. After a while, the characters become real people.
Yes, they do.
So that we're not telling their story. They're telling their story. We're not making up the story. They're telling their story. And we're just kind of writing it for them, typing it, and putting it in a book for them. So I just want the readers to understand, you know, mistakes that are made. Sometimes it's better to just go ahead and admit them than to try and hide them. Because what goes on in the dark will come to the light. And, you know, karma is, I know this is PG, karma is a witch, you know.
Without a pretty
face. You just have to learn how to handle your business. You just have to learn how to handle your business. You know.
So now when you're
the book is about, do you mind if I quickly say what the book is about?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, it's about two women who are after the same man. Cheryl Blanton is a model with a past, okay, who meets a naive baseball player playing for a farm team for the Yankees, who she realizes has the potential to make it to the major leagues. And so she kind of strings him along, but as soon as he gets a $120 million contract, she marries him. She has him on lock, you know. See, her sex game is tight, and she has him on lock. She's very secure in her marriage until a 21-year-old girl who calls herself Sexy Sanchez comes on the scene. Sexy also is messing around with a baseball player from the Phillies. But when she meets Randy, she decides that she wants to move up, you know, to the, you know, the real millions. And so she sets her sights on Randy, and it becomes a real competition between Sexy and Cheryl, because for the first time, Cheryl realizes her marriage is in jeopardy. And the secrets that come out as they begin to, you know, really start the competition, because Cheryl hires a private investigator to get some dirt on Sexy, and some of the secrets that comes out makes her realize that not just, it wouldn't just mess up Sexy, but it would mess up all of them, you know. So it's
indeed
so much more dramatic than I just made it sound.
It's deep. Oh, my gosh. So now the process of making somebody like Cheryl and making someone like Sexy and Randy and other base, like when you're making these characters, you know, I know some musicians say, oh, they wake up, they hear the music, they see the music, whatever. So how is it for you, a writer, a creative being, when you get these people in your head? What do you see them? Do you smell them? How does that work?
Well, you know, it's funny. And I'm glad you brought up musicians, because I think that's a great analogy. I think that, you know, the musicians that I know, when you really start talking to them, you realize that the music is actually already inside of them. It's inside of them, and sometimes it begins to seep out, and as it begins to seep out, they grab it before it can just totally seep into the atmosphere. They grab it, and then they work it, and then we get that beautiful piece of music from them. But the music is always deep inside of them. It's not like, you know, it's somewhere in the atmosphere and they just get an inspiration. It's already inside them. It's the same thing I have found for writers. You know, everyone says, and it's true, that a writer's first book is semi-autobiographical. It's really them, whether the writer realizes it or not. I go further. I say that every character that a writer comes up with is part of them. And they may not even realize it until they've written it, or they may not even realize it until somebody else brings it to their attention. And I'll just say that when, you know, like I said, I originally, you know, conceived of this because someone said that they wanted a sports-themed story, and I was like, well, there's never stories about baseball. But when it came to the character, well, I have a secret that I'm always been afraid will come out, and no, I'm not going to share it with your listeners. but I think that in the back of my mind, it's always a worry that it may come out. And so when I started writing Cheryl, I don't know why I decided that she needed to have a secret. But I gave her a secret, and I think I put all of my fears into her.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense.
You know, and so the whole story is driven by secrets, her secrets, sexy secrets, you know, but it's all driven, you know, by secrets. And in hitting it out the park, the secret does come to light. And I guess I'm kind of fantasizing about what would happen if my secret was ever to unfold in public.
Right.
See, now I'm going to have people going through my biography trying to figure out what the secret is.
Right, they're going to be like, they're looking for your secret. Like, I wonder what secret. And listen, and
right.
Then two things going to happen.
What?
You know what's going to happen. You know it's two things that are going to happen. They're going to buy the book. They're going to buy the book. Because just in case you haven't bought it, you guys need to get it. But they're going to buy the book. They're going to pay attention to Cheryl. And then they're going to go to your bio. And they're going to be wondering. They're going to be wondering. Like, ooh, what's her secret? Ooh, what's her secret? I wonder what she's trying to hide. Listen. Everybody got a secret, and I don't care what it is. You could have secretly been, you know, cross-eyed at one point in time in your life, and you got it fixed. So who knows? Who cares? Whatever. Everybody has secrets. But the fact that, like you said, with Cheryl, it makes you, as she's going through this whole process, it makes her more human. And just like with sexy, everyone has been, even if they've never done it, but everyone has been a sexy. 21,
right.
To try.
Been a little bit of sleazy. Been a little bit of sleazy.
And some people, even in their later years, they still a little bit. And that's okay, because, hey, as long as you
exactly.
like it, I love it. Who
mm-hmm.
cares? But everyone
exactly.
has been one of these two characters at some point in time. And I love the fact, not even just with these two characters, the other characters that you bring into the book, especially Stephen, the whole part. The whole conversation
that Stephen
and Cheryl have about when he goes to see his parents. And, you know, even though she said we've been through this before, this time is different. It also speaks to friendship. It also speaks to some of the conversations that we're not having in our families,
mm-hmm.
the conversations that we should be having with our families, and where it makes people feel like they're uncomfortable or where they feel like they have to disguise who they are. And I absolutely love it. Love it. I love the fact, like one of your readers said, you really speak to the heart of what's going on in the community and the heart of what's going on with people and their personalities. And I think, to me, that's what makes a great novel, to touch the people.
Thank
and I thank you. I thank you for touching the people.
You are such a great interviewer. I'm going to tell you that now. Because of all the interviews that we've done so far, no one has talked about Stephen. And I think that Stephen's character is so deep. He's a homosexual who is out of the closet, still in the closet, and is actually
mm-hmm.
ashamed of his homosexuality, of his sexual orientation. You know, and you don't really find that in books. You know, you find, you know, the drag queen, or you find the guy that's totally in the closet. It's very seldom that, well, I've never seen a character written like Stephen before. So, you know, but also I want to touch that. All right, but also I want to tell you, you're such a great interviewer, because this is the first time I've admitted that Cheryl's secret came out of me having a secret. So, I mean, you're a great interviewer. I'm going to be listening into you, you know, every week here on out. You're really, really good, girl. You're really good.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Listen, don't make me start screaming on here. Thank you so much. Well, wait a minute. Where are we having? Now, see, you done started. Oh, by the way, so now those of you who missed it a little bit early and you came in a little bit late, of course we're talking to Karen Keonis Miller, author, part author of Hitting It Out the Park. That's her new novel now, and she's written with Allison Hobbs, who will be on the show in May, so make sure you guys check that out. But we put out something interesting. We're taking a tally about what types of workshops that we can get Karen to do, you know, to get back out. So far, it looks like what's leading Karen is self-publishing.
Okay.
We have self-publishing is from a 5 to, actually, a wait a minute. Let me count it up. A 15 to 3 vote so far is self-publishing.
Okay.
Yes, it's the Sookie.
Okay, now your listeners need to understand that this is not a one-hour workshop. This is a 7.5-hour workshop. So, I mean, this is a commitment.
Y'all heard that, right? 7.5. Yep. They said,
it's
500. 500 votes. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I just got corrected. Thank you very much. 500 to 2. I thank you very much. Y'all heard that it's 7 hours.
500?
Yeah. Because, I mean, we just got the last few. Yep. 500 in. We just got the last push. But, yes, they are committed. They said they're ready. They are ready to go. So they will be liking Hand and Footprints page so they can find out when she's going to do it. But we do have a caller.
Okay.
Good morning, caller.
Well, first of all, house into your life. You know who this is. I don't need to go there. But I just want to say that your guest is right, that you are a great interviewer. And a lot of people out there that listen to Hands and Footprints, I mean – every day that I hear Ricky on the air, we think about, you know, when we first started out on Blog Talk, you know, House and Days Productions, and it's crazy. October 4th will be, you know, her third year of broadcast. It's not about me. Her third year of broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio. So I'm very, very proud of Ms. Jones. I'm very proud of your guests being able to bring up a great novel about a sports theme. You don't see that too much. You know, a lot of women don't even know about farm systems, let alone Major League Baseball. So that's wonderful in itself. And like I said, you know, I want to take up many more of your time because I'm not important. This young lady right now is important. You know, I work all through the week, so she knows what I do. It's not important for me to do that. But it's all about Ricky Jones. I'm out.
Thank you. It's funny because I'm going to say it, just like how you and Allison got together and you made this great novel,
mm-hmm.
that gentleman right there, we started together doing Blog Talk together and doing radio. And I was in the background. Yeah, I was kind of like in the background. I'm like, yeah, you do it. I'll just be, you know, the sidekick. Not the side chick. I said it right, the sidekick. And he was always... And listen, well, never mind. I'm not going to go there. I'll leave that alone. I'm going to come back. And he kept encouraging me. He's like, yo, you know, Rick, do this. You know, I think you have the voice for it. And so I thank him. He does have crazy, crazy, mad creativity when it comes to the network of hosts that he has on Blog Talk. So you guys can check it out Sunday through Friday. He has different guests and different hosts. So I'll just put that out there. And you all can always see, since he doesn't want me to say his name, you guys can always see I'm always posting, and we definitely celebrate each other and support each other. So,
wow,
Karen, what's next? It is. And you know, it's good to have support. It really is. And you said that earlier. It's good to have,
mm-hmm.
and it's wonderful that you had your daughter involved because, you know, we do. We have to get our kids involved. Like my son, he has gotten it down to a pat. Where, all right, you getting ready to get on, Mom? You getting ready to get on? Yeah, I'm getting ready to get on. And he'll write me little notes on because he's, that's great, you know, to get kids involved. Because at first I was like, no, I'm not going to get them involved. But now I'm kind of owning it. This is, if it wasn't
mm-hmm.
for this, you know, if it wasn't for him being supportive, even though he's 9 going on 90, you know, if
mm-hmm.
it wasn't for him being supportive, I couldn't do it the way I do it. So I appreciate it. And I do appreciate you and Allison doing this body work. I appreciate you for sharing you in this. I truly appreciate it. Listen, I told you, I wasn't sure if you were going to say yes. And when you did, just like I have done before, when I do get people to say yes, I get tickle pink. I really, really do. So when I was talking and telling people who was coming on, because I was talking to my friends, and then I was, of course, doing my Ricky thing and, you know, promoting it, they were like, oh, my goodness. For real? And and it makes me say, girl, yeah. That's who I got coming on. Make sure you call him. But I so thank you for doing it. So now what's next for Karen? What are you doing next?
Well, Allison and I will be doing a sequel.
I can't imagine.
You know, and also, you know, my I also would like to you know, tell your listeners about a book that I did a few years ago called An Angry Aztec Woman, which is an autobiographical novel. So if they want, you know, please go up on my website, which is, you know, www.KarenAquinonisMiller.com. But if you want to learn more about me also, you know, grab An Angry Aztec Woman. And I'm writing a book about a serial killer.
Oh.
I know,
wait
right?
Wait a minute.
I know.
Wait a minute.
Departure.
So you're writing about, is this almost like, what was his name, Mr. Light, what was it, Legion or Legion, or the character that you have in this book? I couldn't figure out how to say his name.
Wayne Ligon, who is the name of an ex-boyfriend of mine, by the way. It's funny how, you know, these things creep up in your mind as you're writing, you know. And, you know, so many of my characters, you know, I assign a person whom I know in my life, you know, to them, you know, so I can remember all of the mannerisms and everything. But, yeah, no, this is not about Dwayne, though. But, well, you are really good, Vicky. You are so good.
It wasn't me. I'm telling you, it's the book. I'm telling you, it's the book. The book made me remember everybody.
But I'm going to be telling all of my author friends about you. I mean, I've got to make sure they all get on your show because you are so, so good.
So you got a serial killer. Lord have mercy. I can't. Now, when should we expect that? Because I can't wait. And when you do that, when that comes out, do you promise as soon as it comes out that you'll come back?
I promise.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it. Oh, my gosh. So please let people know again how they can get a hold of you and just how they can reach out to you and any
things
that you want to tell your readers.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm on Facebook, Karen E. Quinones Miller. And you can get the spelling from Ricky's blast, because I saw you blasted all over the place, Facebook.
All over. Listen, that's why I'm telling you, because I always ask my guests, you know, where are they? Because sometimes I know you guys are busy, but I want to make sure people know who's going to be on the show. And that, mm-hmm. to me, that's us helping each other out. They hit your name, they hit my name, we both out there. But I want people to know who I have on, because, you know, it's nothing worse than going someplace or calling in someplace and trying to figure out who the person is. And even if you don't know the person, you get to know the person. You know what I mean? So
mm-hmm.
Listen, sometimes it's nice to see your name in lights. Hello?
You're good. You're very good at what you do. But find me on Facebook. That's probably the best way, you know, because I always answer, you know, my inboxes and, you know, friends request and all of that. But I'm also on Twitter and Instagram, but Facebook is probably the best. And I'm on there under Karen E. Quinones Miller.
All right, folks. And if you missed all that, that's okay. I will have it on the Hand and Footprints page. Oh, I'm sorry, Karen. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to ask your permission. I mean, when I set the date for the publishing, self-publishing workshop, can I let you know so that you can let your listeners know?
You sure can.
Okay, great.
You sure can. I thank you so much, Karen. Thank you for being on. If you have not gotten Hitting It Out the Park, please make sure that you get it. Don't worry. I'll put her links on the Facebook page, but you have to like my page, and you have to follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Google+. So that you can get all of what you need from today. Thank you so much, Karen. Thank you for those of you who Facebooked and who called in today. I truly appreciate it. Without you guys, I wouldn't be able to share people's stories and what they're doing in their hand and footprints at a time. You can hit me up on the social medias. You can also email me at themsrrikkijones@gmail.com. Lord willing, we'll do this next week. Next week we have a male author on, so I'm looking forward to that. And Karen, again, thank you so very much.
Who's
it going to
be next week?
Along with me.
Who's it going to be next week?
Oh, his name is Saquon Jones. People know him from Life with Say, and he has a new book out called The Weight of the World. So, oh, my goodness, I can't wait to get into that. So he's going to be on with us next week. Lord willing,
right.
I will see you guys. Yeah, I will see you guys. If it's not like breathing, don't do it, guys. Have a great Easter for those of you who are celebrating the holiday. Be safe. Be kind, be loving, be yourself, just be. I'll see you guys next week.
Ashe.